Welcome to the Thrive Podcast. I'm your host, Kathleen Drennan. If you're a floral designer on a mission to build a profitable and thriving business, then you're in exactly the right place. I'm on a mission to bust through the secrecy of our industry, make it easier for you to know exactly what to focus on to help you build your business, and teach you my favorite mindset hacks so that you can learn to show up with more confidence and authority as you grow your business. I am so grateful to be able to share my journey with you, pass along my best shortcuts, and get you on the path to feeling more confident and making money doing what you love. No matter where in the world you're tuning in from, remember, you've got this. So where I am sitting, just in this moment in time, close your eyes. Actually, if you're driving, please don't close your eyes. Use your imagination. Wait, don't listen to what I just said. But where I'm sitting and recording this podcast, I know I've talked about this before, but like at this moment in time, and I should forever from now make sure that I am coordinating my schedule with the sun, because it's like beaming in, giving me all of the vitamin D. Does the vitamin D still come in if it's coming through a window? Probably. But that wasn't what I wanted to tell my story about. I get to sit in front of this giant window in my house, and because we've set up our front room as like our office, and I really don't care because it almost feels more like this is our business space, and I love being able to see outside. I don't really care if the general public can see in to this room in our house. Way more like, for those of you guys who used to work in corporate jobs, when we used to be able to sit by the window and like look out the window in our corporate job, I was like, let's just create the same experience in my house. The rest of the house is very private and very, you know, I don't want people to see that bit of it, but this front room, I'm like, I'm okay with it. I'm going to sit here and talk to myself and watch the people go by. And then I get the benefit of all of my fancy neighbors who have like every specimen of magnolia tree on the planet, which I greatly appreciate their foresight in planting those for me. Because they totally did that like 20 years ago when they planted those magnolias that are beautiful. They were like, Kathleen's going to be in that house in 2024. We should plant these magnolias now. Thank you. I really appreciate it. But you get to watch the world go by, and there are some cute dogs in my neighborhood. But I think my favorite person to watch out for, and she actually lives a few houses down from me, but she's one of those older ladies who wears perfectly coordinated clothes. Perfectly coordinated. Like full influencer vibes, but she's in her 70s, maybe even like early 80s, and she goes for a walk. I think she has a friend. I'm still trying to piece it all together. You know how we do that? But like, I think she has a colleague, friend, somebody, a walking buddy who lives somewhere in the neighborhood. She doesn't live on this street, but anyway, this woman, yesterday I saw her walking and she was wearing, I had to Google this, don't think that this language comes to me naturally. I was like, she's wearing orange. She wasn't wearing orange. She was wearing burnt ochre. Fully coordinated. Slacks, jacket, hat. I would love, I want to see inside this woman's closet because this is magnificent. And I keep thinking to myself, she's like full influencer vibes before influencers were even a thing. I love her for it. I love her for it. And for all of my Southern Highlands friends, she's very Burrado. I'm just going to say that. And I just, she makes me smile. She doesn't love my dog, which I'm sure I'll win her over one day, but I just, you know, I just want to be that person who walks out of my house. She's going for a walk, like she's doing exercise, but she's wearing just these perfectly coordinated outfits. And I think it's magical. I think we should all, can we all vow to show up in our lives like that? Because, wow, like she's just, I don't know. I find it so amazing. So amazing. Anyway, that's your neighborhood update for today. I wanted to put a podcast episode together that helped talk very specifically about the idea of creating irresistible offers. And this isn't something that anybody ever talks about in industry because it's like, what do you mean? I'm a florist. It's easy. Like, oh, right. No. Because I think, I will just say, for me, this concept I had heard about quite a while ago, but I don't think I truly grasped or understood, truly understood, what the heck this concept was all about until I landed on the whole experience of selling wedding flowers online. And to bring everybody up to speed, I'll just, you know, shorten that 3-year cycle into 30 seconds. But I had originally, when we launched our business, I thought, oh, okay, great. Like, we were getting, you know, lots of wedding inquiries. And I thought, okay, well, I'll make this easy for our clients. We'll put together some wedding packages. And I sat down and I designed a cute little brochure, got it printed, and it was very cute. And the prices were very discounted. It's one of you guys so rightly said. One of my flower friends in Mexico said to me, those are third world prices. Like, you're welcome. Anyway, happy to have tested the concept on behalf of the entire industry and to tell you it's a bad idea to offer set packages at an extreme discount. And why? Because nobody bought them. Because it wasn't a compelling offer. But that giant epic failure led me to the innovative idea of selling wedding packages online, which for me was one of those like, holy crap, this is awesome. This is so awesome. And it's so much fun to sell. And it's so much fun for my clients. And it really made me understand the strategy behind creating irresistible offers. So this is a concept that's super duper helpful if you feel like you are constantly being bombarded by price shoppers, if you feel like you're being inundated by people who are telling you that you're too expensive, that things are cheaper if they went somewhere else. But this is also super helpful if you are looking at launching subscriptions, workshops, flower schools. I mean, you can use this concept in any offer in your business, but it's such a helpful thought process. And I want to just read out a couple of quotes for you from this book. And it's actually Russell Brunson. And I know many of you guys have heard of him. He's a great digital marketing educator, teacher. If anybody sells online courses, does webinars, funnels, that kind of thing. But you don't even need to read his book, because I'm just going to read out this a couple little bits of this, because this is the really, really, really helpful part of the story. And so he talks about how to create irresistible offers. But before he gets into the actual teaching of it, he has a quote from Dan Kennedy. And this is so helpful. Write this down. There is no strategic advantage of being the second lowest priced leader in town. But there is a huge strategic advantage of being the most expensive. I'm going to repeat that just in case you weren't listening. There is no strategic advantage of being the second lowest priced leader in town. But there is a huge strategic advantage of being the most expensive. So that's actually a quote from Dan Kennedy. But Russell Brunson goes on to say, if you fight on price, you lose your margins. You can't pay for advertising. You can't pay and hire the best team. And you can't provide the value your dream customers desire. On the other hand, when you build an offer that is perceived as inexpensive to those customers because you've created so much value, then you are able to serve them at the highest level. This is a big mindset shift that most entrepreneurs need to make to really become successful. And I know one of the biggest struggles that I had, and then I watched my own team have, is when we're looking at pricing, because of the equations and the formulas that we're taught, and they're based on the stems in our hand. So if you're selling 2 dozen roses, then the pricing is take that stem count, multiply it, and then you have your retail price. So then we, as the entrepreneur, as the CEO in our business, assume that the value of what we're offering our clients is the stems in our hand. But this is an exercise of separating out the industry standard formula, one of the greatest gifts we've ever been given, and understanding how to communicate and increase the perceived value to your clients. So what we're going to do here, I'm just going to quote Russell Brunson again. When you build an offer that is perceived as inexpensive to your dream clients, and you've created so much value, you're able to serve them at the highest level. So this is a perspective shift. This isn't about focusing on the stems in your hand, but this is about understanding the entire value equation of what you offer your clients. When I think back, this is one of those, like, in hindsight, if I was writing a textbook around the selling wedding flowers online concept, for me, I thought, okay, well, all my customers care about is price. And so we had these three different wedding packages that were heavily discounted. But one of the reasons that nobody bought was because no two weddings are created the same. It's very rare that when you're operating in that kind of smaller footprint, that you're going to have two weddings that are a direct replication of each other. And I don't even mean from like a style and aesthetic point of view. I mean more from a how many bridesmaids, how many flower girls, how many buttonholes, how many table arrangements. Like that kind of cookie cutter approach didn't work. And this is what's so interesting is once we finally got to the point of learning that setting up individual products on our website, allowing our clients to essentially create their own wedding package, but without it having to be, you know, heavy consultations, lots of back and forth, like truly giving our clients the power to be able to make their own decisions, and everything can be done online in their own time, doesn't have to involve, you know, deep conversations with a florist, and doesn't have to involve custom quoting, that it actually completely changes the argument around what an irresistible offer is and what value is to your customers. And this is one of those things that, as Russell Brunson says, it requires such a shift in your thinking. Particularly, like when we're trying to wrap our head around the price, then we're like, well, the price is the price, and this is, you know, 36 roses, and this is how much I'm supposed to charge for it. But the act and what you get to do is then sit down and really think about and sell yourself on the full value of the offer. And then Russell Brunson actually gets you to go even further, like go one step further and think about what else can you add in to your offer that will make it truly irresistible. Because he's so passionate about making sure that it's not about offering discounts and that it's not about being cheap. Because as Dan Kennedy says, right, we can't perform at our highest level. We can't offer the best customer service. We can't offer the highest quality product. We can't even market our business if we aren't charging that kind of premium and we're not pricing for profitability. So this is why I will say, like, if we can pretend like we're scientists and we go, okay, the industry standard approach to pricing is an absolute gift. It's a given. We're not going to argue it. We're not going to sit here and try and talk ourselves out of it. We're just going to be good employees in our own business and say, okay, thank you, world, for having tested this out. I appreciate you. I'm going to do some math. That's the price. Then we can get to work on crafting your irresistible offer. And when we talk about the irresistible offer, the first thing I'm going to say is don't be discounting. We don't have to create an irresistible offer simply by lowering the price. Instead, we get to fill up and understand the offer that we're making to our clients, knowing, okay, I'm going to really think through the value equation here, and I'm really going to think through the value as it is seen by my customers. So if we take the example of selling wedding flowers, knowing, okay, not every wedding is created equal, but not every client out there wants to go through the epic detailed consultation, mood board, all this back and forth. Like, their time to themselves is too precious, and they're not so emotionally invested in the specific flowers. And to be honest, what they want to do is almost outsource the entire production and the know-how to the professionals, which is what you and I want anyway. So this idea of going, we're giving our clients permission to not have to know. We're giving our clients the power to be able to make these decisions, give them the information that they want, and they can make these decisions in their own time, particularly if that is 11 o'clock on a Monday night. Knowing that all of those things get to actually add to the value equation. Whether you want to then offer a specific discount because of XYZ and you like your reasons, then you can do that. But it doesn't become the default response in the beginning. And I think this is one of those big shifts. Like, this truly takes you from small scale, small thinking CEO to true like flower boss status. Because when you can accept that the industry standard approach to pricing is a given, just like gravity, It just is. Then you get to use your creativity and think about, okay, what can I include in my offer? How can I set up my offer? What's the experience I can provide to my clients that makes this irresistible and makes it a no-brainer? Therefore, makes the perceived value of what I'm offering feel exponential. And this is where you really get to understand and know your clients on a very intimate level. So whether you're doing this with wedding packages, or you can do this with online ordering, you can do this with subscriptions, you can do this with workshops, you can even do this if you're launching like floral design, a floral design school. So for example, this idea of some of the things that you and I would completely take for granted, like what are the tools that I need? What are the books and the resources that would be really helpful? Like actually giving our students a list of resources, tools. I mean, maybe depending on how you want to package up your workshop or your class, you actually give them a welcome package that includes everything that you wish you had when you were first learning about design or if you're putting on a workshop. And I've been talking a lot about this with my clients around running those first few workshops, because I truly, I'm like, I wish that somebody had told me you should start this earlier. Because the transformation that happens in yourself when you start hosting workshops is incredible. But I will make a note to put a separate podcast episode together on that, because it is really helpful. And I have learned so much about how to sell, and probably more helpful, how not to sell workshops. But this idea of thinking, okay, it isn't the price point that's going to drive your client's decision. But if they know that they could sign up to a workshop and everything is taken care of, so you're going to give them a pair of snips and rose strippers, and you're going to give them a little, whether it's even just one or two pages of printouts and tips and notes, or the details in terms of tools and things to look for, extra reading if you want to give them a little bit of extra guidance or design guides, you know, flower sourcing, recipes, like however far you want to take this, but that true like information and guidance and teaching that they might want to read after the fact, so that you can continue to share your expertise, so that your decision around how much you charge for that workshop becomes so much more holistic. And it's not simply just about, oh, okay, well, I'm going to take, you know, X number of stems in the container, mark it up by six, and that's going to be the price point of the workshop. But this idea of going, okay, wait a minute, what is the entire experience that I want to provide? And how can I truly wow my clients? And I think this is one of those things, like, even if you were thinking about this as doing ceremony setup or wedding installations, and this idea of going, you know what, one of the things that you can actually build in to your pricing when it comes to the wedding ceremony is making sure that there is an abundance, that there truly is more than enough product, more than enough flowers, so that you can create an absolutely amazing wow over the top experience, so that you can over deliver, so that you can have extra people on site, so that on the day, if mom needs help with something, or the event planner needs help with something, or the DJ needs help with something, like, I love being that team where we overstaff on the day so that people can have an extra hand. Like, I remember really learning about this when I was actually freelancing for a friend of mine, and she was working with one of the big wedding planners, and we're at one of the venues that we all do a lot of work at, and realizing, like, I think somebody had forgotten to purchase a steamer to help with the mom's outfit. And so we ended up actually driving into town, going to Bingley, picking up a steamer, and then coming back. And I was like, I love being able to be those people that can say yes to helping solve that problem without it being a panic, without it being a pinch point on what you're going to do on the day. And of course, it's out of like the traditional remit of the job of a florist. But knowing, yeah, you know what, we've built it into our schedule. We've got an extra person on staff. We have an extra vehicle. We know where we're going. We can, of course, solve that problem. Particularly if you guys are working with planners, it's such a great way to really build that relationship and build that credibility so that you get asked to work again with those planners. But you can't do that if you're trying to compete on price. So this is the mindset that I think is really helpful to adopt. And again, this is from Russell Brunson, and he says, the solution to selling a commodity is to restructure what you are selling and turn it into an offer. When you add more value than anyone else, you're no longer needing to compete on price. So the goal and the first step is to increase the value of what you're selling by creating an actual offer. And that offer is going to need to consider the perceived value of what is being sold, and then making the thing being sold unique to you and only available within this special offer. But this idea of really thinking about, if we go back to the wedding packages example, like having packages that are just on a brochure where the client still has to either phone or they need to come into the shop and everything's very set in stone. Like it was literally package A includes A, B, C, D, E. Package B includes A, B, C, D, E, F, G. That idea of going like it didn't actually take on board the personal nature of a wedding and that every couple, when they're planning their wedding, gets to decide what's important to them. And it assumed that all my clients cared about was low prices. But simply sitting down and putting yourself in your customer's shoes. And this is where I started to really glom on to the idea of recognizing, wait a minute, all of my favorite brides, every single one of them, worked a full-time job. They had multiple priorities in their lives. They weren't necessarily the most creative humans, but they really loved the creativity that came with planning their wedding. Their day job, in many cases, was incredibly boring. I remember like a couple of my dream clients had the most boring jobs, and it was so unexpected because I was like, you're a fascinating human. Why are you trapped in a cubicle doing this all day? Alas. But really remembering like what they valued the most was having the information to make the best decision for them, feeling like somebody was on their side and not bullying them or threatening them or disagreeing with them, and giving them permission to really enjoy the process and enjoy the planning process. And once I started to realize like these guys are not being driven by just the lowest cost provider, because I knew they could go somewhere else. Like I can guarantee you they could go somewhere else and get a cheaper solution. They could have picked from thousands of florists in Sydney, but they weren't. They were coming to me. And this idea of going, okay, what can I do to increase the value of this offer and take price off the table? So the first thing I did was I got myself out of the pricing way. Okay, approach to industry standard formula is the way that we're going to go. I'm just going to pretend like I work for somebody else and the price is the price. And then I started to think about, okay, if I was getting married and I was getting married out of town, because that's what these girls are doing, is they're all based in Sydney and they're coming down to the Southern Highlands to get married. So they're getting married out of town. Then what would be really helpful for them? And I thought, holy crap, like if they could plan their wedding flowers from start to finish online in their own time, obviously reach out if they had specific questions, but not feel bogged down by a formal consultation, not having to worry about all the back and forth in terms of custom quoting. Like they just want the information. They want to be able to make the best decision for them. They want to be able to tap into that expertise, but they want to be able to do it in their own time. And they will pay for all of that, because they also know on the back of end of it is everything's taken care of, beautifully designed flowers, we will show up on the day, they get to experience the peace of mind, it's all very picture perfect, and it's a win-win for everybody. So really putting yourself in your customer's shoes is how you can change your thinking and how you can change your mindset. Because when you can just take price off the table as no longer something you're going to negotiate with yourself on, then you really tap into your creativity, because you're like, oh, okay, wait a minute. If you're doing wedding packages, what if they don't want everything to be so set in stone? And what if we just stop trying to argue on price? And what if we just completely throw the entire experience on its head and give our customers the information that they're craving, make it easy for them to order, use technology to streamline our process and get them to order online, and they're still going to command a premium for it. So really thinking outside the box only comes when you stop trying to negotiate with yourself on price. Because then you put yourself in your client's shoes and you start thinking about how you can make this offer irresistible. And you stop thinking, I need to be cheaper. So this is really helpful. This thought process is really helpful when it comes to setting up your online catalog, selling subscriptions, selling workshops, setting up a flower school, heck, even if you're getting into selling online courses and digital products. But really thinking about, okay, I'm going to stop negotiating with myself on pricing. But instead, I'm going to make a list of 25 things. We're just going to brainstorm a list of 25 things that you could include to make this offer irresistible. And I love that exercise of just making a list of 25 things, because it'll push you to create a longer list, but also you'll get past some of the immediate ideas that you have that you are kind of already know that you want to discredit. But thinking about this idea of like, okay, if you were going to launch your first kind of classroom series in a flower school, what would be an amazing thing to include? And I mean, it could be everything. And I'm just going to come up with some suggestions here, so feel free to take any of these. But it could be your list of favorite florists to follow online. People who you've learned from in terms of, I don't know if they have a YouTube channel, if they have books, if there's podcasts, if there's resources, like making a list for your students to go even further on this work. Making a list of your personal favorite, like, personal development books, making a list of your favorite flowers and swaps, where to source flowers, exercises by intentional practice, like where you find your inspiration, the tools that you use, your favorite apron. It could be so many things. So many things. Any of those ideas, please feel free to take them all, make them your own. But this idea of going, oh, okay, wait a minute. Like, if I take price off the table, what else could I include in my goodie bag of my irresistible offer that would elevate my client's experience? Particularly if you're offering workshops, floral design classes, subscriptions, wedding packages, this isn't always about including more stuff. It's not about including more things or more like physical products, even though having tools and books and all that thing could be really helpful. But it could be way more about you packaging up your knowledge and your know-how in a way that makes it easy for your clients and your students to understand. It could be thinking through the whole online customer experience and the online journey, the checkout process, the ease of ordering, the details that you provide when you're ordering, like just thinking through that whole customer journey and the customer experience and how it's packaged up and the flow that they go through. There's so much innovation to be had in that instance. But really recognizing, like, okay, if I stop thinking I need to throw more stems into the design and I stop thinking I need to argue with myself on price, where else will your creativity take you? And you will come up with some amazing ideas when you stop thinking it needs to be about more flowers. And when you stop telling yourself or arguing with yourself around the price, really thinking about what could that compelling offer be. So if you're looking at your business right now and you're thinking, okay, I really want my business to focus on this one specific service. Maybe that's funerals, maybe it's workshops, maybe it's subscriptions, maybe it's online ordering, maybe it's wedding packages, maybe it's full service, all singing, all dancing weddings. Pick one service. And then start brainstorming for yourself 25 ideas in terms of how you could make this an irresistible offer. And literally cross off any ideas that have to do with offering discounts, being cheap, or overstuffing your designs. But instead, thinking about how you can package up the value for your clients in a new and different way. It's such a helpful thing to think about, in particular if you're in the car, if you're out doing deliveries, if you're coming back from the wholesalers, this is an amazing thing to think about and allow yourself to really just explore all the possibilities. Don't discredit any of your ideas to begin with. That's why I will say this 25 brainstorming ideas is such a helpful shortcut, because you're going to want to stop after about 12 ideas, but the juiciest ones always come at about 18, 19, 20, 21. So come up with 25 ways that you could have a compelling offer that don't involve overstuffing and undercharging. It's so fun. Like, this is where we get to really use our creativity in all different areas of our business. So go out there, create yourself a compelling offer, and then it'll become so much easier to sell. And as always, my friend, please drive safe, drink your water, eat your veggies, and get some sleep. And I will talk to you again next week. Bye for now.